sound off for Chesterfield. Chesterfield, first cigarette in America to give you premium quality in both regular and king size, brings you Dragnet. Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. Sergeant, you're assigned a robbery detail. A man has been found in the trunk of an automobile. He's been badly beaten and is suffering from shock. Your job, investigate.
Here's what the nation's press has had. Either way, you have
it. Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Wednesday, February 18th. It was raining in Los Angeles. We were working a day watch out of robbery detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Thad Brown, chief of detectives. My name's Friday. It was 10:48 p.m. when I got back to the car. Unit 1-2. Still wet out in it.
Was he in?
No, he's the guy who gave us a big story about carrying the lunch bucket. Always home by 9 o'clock.
Yeah. There was a car while you were out. Someone locked in a car trunk. We better roll on it.
Yeah.
What do you figure about your informant?
Well, I don't know. It's rain. He's holed up someplace. He's not on the street.
He's your boy, Joe. You ever come up with anything worthwhile?
Well, he used to. He's got to be an awful lunch now. He can't stay sober long enough. Always talking about joining AA, but he never seems to get around to it.
Too bad. Doing good if you give him a chance. If you want to be helped, they're the ones who can do it.
Well, I'll try to catch him in the morning, huh? It's getting late. I'm tired.
Yeah, I could use some sleep. Hey, when we see this guy, you think he'll be able to give us anything?
I don't know. Can't be, Mike. He might be able to come up with something.
Doesn't figure, Joe. Nice job they pulled. There's not a rumble in town on us. Not even a close identification.
Well, we don't turn them soon. It's going to be out of our hands. Be something for homicide to work on.
You think of this trunk deal might be the same one?
Well, if it's them, this makes number 10 for him. The old man will scream his head off in the morning. Still won't help his ulcer. He'll be sipping milk all day.
He just graduated the soft-boiled egg. This thing will put him right back on the sippy diet.
Poor old Didion.
Thieves and ulcers. He just can't win.
Yeah, that must be it up there, Frank. Guy waving the radio car.
Hell yeah. There's 184 just coming in, too.
Yeah. Let's sit here. You want to get out my side?
Yeah.
Right around the corner,
officer.
I don't want to
talk.
Didn't
take you long to get here. I'll show you. Right around here?
Yes.
All right, Joe. Frank.
Yeah.
Are you police officer, too?
Yes, sir. My name's Friday. This is my partner, Frank Smith.
Oh, I do. I'm Carl Miller. I own the drugstore on the corner. I'm the one who found the car, you know.
Yes, sir. If you'd start the car.
Yeah, sure thing. Around this way. I'm going way back to Miss Dalton. Delivered some college bills for baby. That's his car. Sort of heard something.
Yes, sir.
I walked by, then I got to thinking that maybe something might be wrong. So I went back. I looked in the car, but I couldn't see anything.
Yeah?
Well, I figured that maybe it might be my imagination. You know, maybe something else. And I heard this voice. Sounded like it was coming from the trunk. Tried to get it open, but it was locked. And that's when I called you.
Is this it?
Yes, sir. Put your ear against the trunk. You can probably hear him.
Yeah, let me see. There's somebody in there. Let's see if we can get this thing open, huh? I'm going to need something to pry it open.
Yeah.
Why don't you move the car out?
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe there's something in here. I'll look.
No, sir. Please don't touch the car.
What?
Don't touch the car, sir.
Oh, sure. You want to look for fingerprints. Should have thought of it myself. I'll check my door. Sure. Should have something in there.
All right, fine. Al.
Yeah.
You want to see if you got anything in your trunk?
Yeah, I'll check it.
Fine.
It's all right, sir. We're police officers. We'll get you out.
Same one, sir, Joe. Yeah, looks like him. Same name more.
Hey, let's get him under that awning over there out of the rain.
Yeah. Easy, man.
What do you figure?
I don't know. Lay him down. Yeah. Take my clothes.
Cover him up. Yes, sir, that's all I could. Oh,
You already got it open.
Yes, sir, we did.
A little bitty screwdriver probably wouldn't have worked anyway.
Oh, thank you anyway, sir.
Sure thing. Anything else I can do for you?
No, sir, it's all right.
Nothing you need, nothing at all?
Well, not unless you got a good remedy for ulcers. 11:01 p.m. The ambulance arrived and took the victim to Georgia Street Receiving Hospital. Frank and I followed in our car. This was the 10th in a series of kidnappings in which the suspects obtained cars to use in armed robberies. After beating the victims, they'd locked them in the trunk of the car, and after completion of the robberies, they'd abandoned the automobile with the victims tied and gagged in the trunk. Although to date none of the victims had been killed, we knew it was only a matter of time until the suspects kidnapped somebody who would be incapable of standing the treatment, and we'd not only have a robbery, but a murder to deal with. The holdups had been going on for a period of 6 weeks. Frank and I had followed up what leads we could, but they brought us nothing. None of the victims could describe the suspects other than to tell us they were male, white Americans, and that one of them spoke with a southern drawl. 11:17 p.m. We arrived at the hospital. The victim had been placed in treatment room number 3. Sir George Hall was treating him. Frank and I went into the room to talk to the doctor.
Hi, Joe.
Frank,
Doc.
Hi, Johnny. How is it?
Oh, it's all right. Suffering from shock. He's got a nasty abrasion on his right cheek. I gave him a sedative to quiet him down. He'll be okay in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to him?
I'm a trunk bandage again.
Vicious punch.
You going to release him, Doc?
Yeah, I'll be all right in 15 or 20 minutes. You know his name? I want to make out his treatment card.
No, he passed out on us before we could get him.
He's coming around now. You're all right now, fella. Just relax. Take it easy. See if you can sit up here on the edge of the table. Joe?
Yeah, Doc.
You want to pour a glass of water? Cups over there on the wall.
Yeah, sure. I'll get you some water, sir.
That's it.
Now, just sit quiet.
On Union, signal was working, stop. I pulled up. There were two guys standing in the safety zone, you know, like they were waiting for a streetcar.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the time was a lousy thing, having to stand out in the rain waiting for a streetcar.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, the next thing I knew, one of them opened the door up in front. When they opened the door, I figured that maybe it was somebody that knew me. It was dark, you know. Couldn't see too well. The other one opened the back door and got right in the car. I knew darn soon I didn't know these guys. Well, the fellow in front had a gun pointed right at me. Looked like a cannon, biggest gun I ever saw. Tell you, I was scared.
Yes.
Told me to pull up the curb. I did.
What happened then?
Told me to get in the back seat. I told him I could take my money, car, whatever they wanted. Just let me go. And the guy in the back told me to shut up and get back there with him. I asked him again to let go. Told him I wouldn't say anything. Said if they just let me go, I wouldn't tell anyone. I was scared, you know.
Yes, sir, we understand.
The guy in the front got a real wild look in his eye. Looked like he was crazy. I tried to get out of the car, and he hit me. Side of the head with that gun.
Mm-hmm.
Then he grabbed me, threw me in the back seat, hauled me right over the front, just dumped me on the floor in the back.
Uh-huh. What'd you do then?
Oh, nothing. I just laid there. Figured that maybe they'd think I was out cold and leave me alone.
Then what happened?
Well, the guy in the back took a roll of adhesive tape out of his pocket, wrapped around my wrists and ankles.
Well, what'd they do then, sir?
Well, they still thought I was knocked out. The guy in the front said, get me out of the car. Big fellow opened the door, lifted me out, picked me up like a sack of potatoes. The guy with a gun ran around, opened the trunk, and they threw me in. One of my legs was over the bumper, and the big guy grabbed it and twisted it so it had fit in the trunk. Almost died, but I didn't dare let him know it wasn't out.
Mm-hmm. And after that?
They locked the car and drove away. Must have drove for a while, and they stopped.
Mm-hmm. You got any idea how long they drove, sir? How far?
I couldn't see anything. Couldn't hear much. Just a little mumbling. I know they stopped the gas station, though.
How's that, sir?
Well, right after we stopped, I heard one of them yell at somebody. I couldn't tell what he was yelling, but then a little while, I heard somebody come back, take the gas cap off of the tank. Then I heard the gas go in the tank, right in front of the trunk.
That's it.
Well, after the guys put the cap back on the tank, I heard one of the guys say something about stick-up.
Well, why you were stopped? Did you try to let the gas station attendant know if you were in the trunk?
Oh, sure. And I tried to kick the trunk, but the way they twisted my leg put me in, I couldn't move. They gagged me, too. Put a big piece of adhesive tape over my mouth. I don't I tried to let the guy know. I just couldn't do it.
You said that you heard one of them say, this is a stick-up.
Yeah. Those were the words you used to. This is a stick-up.
Why don't you go ahead, sir?
Well, there was some quiet talking after that. I couldn't tell what was going on, and they drove away again.
You have no idea where this gas station was?
Oh. I'm sorry, but I was being bounced around that trunk. My head hurt where they hit me. I know they turned some corners, but I couldn't even guess where the station might be.
What happened then?
Same thing. They'd drive for a while and they'd stop. They'd get out of the car, then come back. We'd start to drive again. Well, finally they parked. I waited for them to come back. They didn't. I tried to get the gag off my mouth like he'd offer help. Rubbed my face against the spare tire and got loose. Then I yelled, kicked my feet against the trunk. I'd just about given up when you found me. Not sure I was through. It's getting hard to breathe in there.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
No, you can't. Until you've been locked in the trunk. Nobody can imagine that. Terrible. Just terrible. Say, have you called me? That's my wife. Have you called her?
No, sir, we haven't.
Of course, you'd be hopping mad. What time is it?
It's 11:45.
Almost 4 hours to get a pound of coffee. She'll be raising the roof. Would you call her? Tell her where I am?
Yes, yeah, sir, I'll call her. Want to give me the number?
Madison 3-4656.
Uh-huh.
Tell her you're calling for Henry. Explain what happened.
All right, sir, right away.
Officer.
Yeah?
Be sure to tell her you're a policeman. She'll believe you.
Yes.
I have a couple of questions, sir. I have to fill out this card.
Sure.
I hate to ask. Could I have another cup of water?
I'll get it.
What do you want to know?
Your full name.
Henry J. Hilldale.
H-I-L-L-D-A-L-E?
Uh-huh, I have it.
All right, sir. Here's your water.
Thank you. I don't know why I'm so thirsty. Got in the trunk, I guess. Got in my throat.
Yes, sir. Now, what's your address, Mr. Hilldale?
920 North Lebanon Avenue. Phone number is Madison 34656.
4656. How old?
48. Be 49 this October.
All right, Mr. Hilldale. You have a way to get home.
We'll run him home, Doc.
Well, what about my car? Can't I take it?
Well, we're going to have to process it for fingerprints, so we can release it to you in the morning.
You called me?
Yes, sir. I just talked to her.
Where she saw it?
Well, she was a little upset, worried about you.
But you told her about what happened.
Yes, sir. Everything's all right now.
That's good.
Mr. Hilldale.
Yes, Doc?
You can leave now. I suggest you see your own doctor in the morning just to check up.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks a lot for your trouble. Sure appreciate it.
That's okay.
Notice this way. The elevator's down here.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get the button. Same story, huh, Joe?
Yeah. One big trouble.
What's that?
We're hearing it too often.
12:18 p.m. We left Georgia Street Receiving Hospital and drove Mr. Hilldale back to his home. On the way, we asked him for a description, but he was only able to give us a very meager one. We did get enough information from him for our crime report. He told us he'd come in the next day to look through the mug book. We checked into the city hall, got a DI number, and filled out the crime report. We booked the adhesive tape as evidence. The information on the robberies the suspect had pulled that night had come into the office. There had been three of them, and among them was a service station Mr. Hilldale had told us about. At 1:46 a.m., Frank and I signed out of the office and went home to get some sleep. 7:58 a.m., we talked with Captain Didion.
Here's the description we got from the service station, Lieutenant. Want to look at it?
Yeah, thanks. Same guy.
Frank?
Yes, Skipper.
Want to hand me that milk?
Yeah. Here you are.
Mm-hmm. Stomach's raging, King. This is a 10th kidnapping and 23rd robbery. When are you two going to get off the dime and bring those guys in?
Oh, doing everything we can, Skipper. You know that.
And it's not enough. I know you guys have been beating your heads against the wall on this thing, but the corner pocket's on my back and we got to break it.
We've contacted all our informants. We've run down every lead that's turned up. They all go to the same place. No way.
I'm giving the chief every excuse I can. I'm not going to try to sell him anymore. I don't think he'd buy him. Now, look, the guys who are pulling these jobs are flesh and blood. They eat and sleep. Somebody in town knows them. They're not phantoms. Let's find them. These guys aren't the brainiest ones in the world. If they were, they wouldn't be getting the cars the way they do.
Well, yeah, that's figured.
How but the car.
Find anything?
I called late in Prince. They said the car was driving up to work on it. Couldn't tell if anything was. Said he called back.
Mm-hmm. I've been going over the crime reports. Maybe got an idea.
Yeah.
The way it looks, they picked up the cars in one area, pulled the jobs in the same area. Could be that they live in that area.
Makes sense.
They've been working inside a 30 square block. Figged down to Hill, 7th to Pico. You got a description on them. Talked to the desk clerks at every hotel and boarding house in the area. Robbery, did he? Yeah, he's here. See you, Jim.
Thanks, Kevin. This guy. Oh, yeah, Dave. Hmm? You bet. That's the way it goes sometimes. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot.
Bergman?
Yeah, I just finished the car. It's clean. Not a thing on it.
But I'm pretty sure you just don't have a picture of the man.
Yes, sir. Well, maybe you'd like to rest a little bit before you look at any more.
Yeah, if I can. Get a little confused looking at so many. After a while, they all begin to look alike.
Yes, sir. Joe.
Yeah.
See you later. Sure thing. Excuse me, Mr. Hildale.
Of course.
Yeah. Just got a call from Charlie Sutton.
San Francisco?
Yeah. Thinks they got our boy.
Dragnet, the authentic story of your police force in action.
Frank went on to tell me that in talking to Inspector Sutton of the San Francisco Police Department, he found out that they thought they had one of the suspects. Sutton said he was apprehended after he kidnapped a man who stopped for a boulevard stop. The suspect had taped the man up and thrown him into the trunk of the automobile. Sutton went on to say that a witness on the street had called the police and furnished them a description of the car and the license number. The kidnapper was apprehended immediately. He refused to talk, and further investigation disclosed that the suspect was a PZ from Los Angeles. Inspector Sutton told us that he sent a stand-up mug to the suspect by airmail special delivery. The following morning, when we received the mugs, we showed them to the victims of the robberies in the Los Angeles area. Several of them positively identified the man. Others stated that he resembled the suspect, and some of the victims were unable to give any identification of the suspect at all. In view of the circumstances, Frank and I were ordered to take two of the most reliable witnesses up to San Francisco in order to observe the suspect in person. We signed the out-of-town book, checked out a trip car, picked up our witnesses, and left for the Bay Area. 7:15 p.m., we checked into the San Francisco police station on Kearney Street. A special show-up was arranged for the victims from Los Angeles. They failed to give a positive identification of the suspect, but both of them said that he could be one of the men involved in the robbery. 8:20 p.m., we talked to the suspect at Jack Webster in Inspector Sutton's office.
What are you guys trying to
prove? We're not trying to prove anything, Webster. We want the facts.
Well, that's what I'm giving you. Since when you get them, you don't want to
believe. We got two people outside that came all the way up here from L.A. Both of them say the other guys who stole their cars and beat them up.
Well, they're both crazy.
According to the report, you pulled a kidnapping just like the ones that were pulled down south. How about that?
So it looks the same. That mean I did it?
Looks like it. We ran your name through R&I down in Los Angeles. There's a tab on your card for PV. Do you know that?
What?
Galloway in Los Angeles wants you for parole violation.
Oh, well, I think I can explain that.
I don't think you can, Webster. Galloway says he hasn't heard from you for the past 6 weeks. That's how long these robberies have been going on. You look awful good for them.
So I maybe skipped town. I was going to report up here. I got a job. Now I'm trying to go straight.
How about the job they got you for now?
I needed a little extra dough. You know, some came up.
I read about those jobs in L.A. I figured it might work for me.
Thought maybe you'd figure it was the same guy.
Yeah, we do.
Now, you got it all wrong. Sure, you got me nailed for this one, but that's all. I had nothing to do with him in L.A.
Our witnesses seem to think otherwise.
I tell you, witnesses are full of cheap. I didn't have anything to do with them. Now, I'm sorry, boy. You got me tagged for a job up here. Nothing else.
How'd you figure that?
Well, how long did you say those jokers been working in L.A.?
About 6 weeks.
Then you got nothing on me.
Yeah.
Sure, I haven't left town for a month and a half, and I can prove it.
Jack Webster told us that he's been registered at a hotel on Geary Street for the past month and a half. Further, he said that he's been working in a foundry in South San Francisco for the same period of time. We checked both of the places out and found that he was telling the truth. He was filed on in San Francisco for grand theft auto and kidnapping. Sunday, February 22nd. We arrived back in Los Angeles, took our witnesses to their homes, and checked into the office. We called Captain Gideon and found that there had been no new developments in the case. Frank and I went home to get some sleep. Monday morning, 7:45 a.m., we signed into the office. We picked up the flyers and started to canvass the area where we thought the holdup men were living. During the first day, we were able to check out 28 places. Tuesday, the 24th, it started to rain again. At 8:30 a.m., we started to canvass the rest of the hotels, rooming houses, and boarding houses in the area. For 3 days, we talked to the day and the night clerk in each place. We left each of them a flyer with the description of the men and our time, asking them to call us if anyone answering the description should register at their particular place. For 3 days, it rained. Saturday, February 28th.
Think it'll ever stop, Joe?
There sure is yet.
Yeah. Looks like the guys we want to drop off the face of the earth, nobody's seen or heard of them. I never realized there were so many hotels in L.A.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Well, let's try this one.
All right.
Here's something you want?
We're police officers, sir. Here's our ID.
What's that?
Police officers.
Oh, police.
That's right, sir.
Yeah, police. Well, what do you want?
We'd like to know if you've got anyone here who answers these descriptions.
Like this, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's kind of hard to say. If you had a picture of them, it might help.
I'm sorry, sir. We don't have a picture, just that description.
See, it could be the fellas in 4A's. They sure fit what it says here. Yeah, I bet it's them. I knew we should have called you fellas about.
Sir?
See, the day before yesterday, anyway, she's a girl, you know, teams up with... She's taking care of the room. She said that she opened the closet. She saw a gun laying on the shelf. You know, right out in the open.
Did you report that to the police?
Huh? What'd you say?
Did you report it to the police?
Oh, no. No, I didn't. You see, I figured that, you know, live and let live. As long as it didn't cause me any trouble, I wasn't about to cause any. Me and me talked about whether we should let you know, but then we decided against it. I didn't see none, we should have.
Why don't you tell us when you saw them last, sir?
Oh, well, a couple of hours ago.
They registered here?
Yeah, Andy Scott and Ed Willis. They're up in room 4A. Ain't there now, though. Let's see. Well, I'll be darned if he ain't there. Well, I guess they are upset. I must have given the key and didn't remember.
That's room 408, she said.
What'd she say?
I said that's room 408.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 408, fourth floor. They're up there now.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Hey, what do you want it for? The dangerous criminals?
Well, we don't know, sir.
Well, be careful. You know, we wouldn't want anything to happen.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'll get the button.
All right. What do you say, you, Joe?
I don't know. Hope there are boys. Don't tell me, do it.
Convicted on 12 counts of robbery in the first degree and 10 counts of kidnapping for the purposes of robbery. They are now serving their terms in the state penitentiary. A hold has been placed on them in the event of parole by the state of Arkansas. First degree robbery is punishable by imprisonment in the state penitentiary for from 5 years to life for each count. In the case of Scott and Winters, these sentences are to run consecutively.